Dream big dreams.
Hello and welcome to Family Movie Night.
Family Movie Night.
Family Movie Night.
Family Movie Night.
I'm Dan.
I'm Jamie.
I'm Asher.
I'm Gwen.
And here we talk about a movie that we watched with our kids.
But before we spoil it for you, we quickly let you know how much we like the movie and see if we recommend it.
And we let our kids chime in before they go to bed.
We watched the movie Sing, and I think it was pretty good.
Asher, do you have any thoughts?
I think that Sing is a good movie, and sometimes it's funny, and sometimes it's more serious.
Yeah.
And I like how it has a mix. It's not all cupcakes and rainbows, and it's also not all thunderstorms
doom
and
rain gloom.
Clouds. Yeah, doom and gloom.
Okay.
Death flowers.
Doom and gloom.
How about
deadly
Gwen?
Porcupines.
Death porcupines.
How well, there is deadly porcupines in there. Spoiler alert.
There are porcupines.
Okay, Gwen, do you have a favorite character?
No.
Okay.
Or maybe.
I have a favorite character.
Let's hear it.
I have two. It's the porcupine lady and
yeah, that's my favorite.
Ash,
character.
The porcupine lady, yeah. And also the golden pig
Gunther.
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 All right.
Cool. Asher's 10 and Gwen is 7,
and our 3-year-old Ezra is already in bed.
And unless you have anything else to say, I think it's time to say goodnight to you guys.
Good night. Do we say that all kids have terrible taste thing or? We send the kids to bed because it is 9 o'clock and because sometimes kids have terrible taste and we don't want to crush their innocent spirits with our criticism.
Before we get started into Sing, I have some follow-up from Kubo, the last episode. Anyway, Jamie mentioned how cool it looked, and I said that they combined 3D printing with clay animation, and I meant to say stop animation, not clay animation. But also, since we recorded, I saw a video where they showed some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, the making-of stuff, and it's amazing, right? Like, they printed all the faces, all the expressions.
Wow.
Every frame of every expression to get from every, you know, like...
Wow.
And the sets were, like, these beautiful little scale model things, and it was just... It's incredible, the work that they did to accomplish this movie. And the way that they seamlessly integrated these computer graphics and these 3D printed models and, you know, hand painted whatever, I would love to visit that set to check out that stuff.
Geek out over it.
Right. And that's why it looks so distinct, right? It was because they were doing something that...
Pioneering.
Like, yeah, that Pixar's not doing, right? Like, we love Pixar movies and they're amazing.
Yes.
And they are so amazing at what they do.
There's some losers in there.
There's some losers in there, yeah. But even among the losers, it's like, wow, I can't believe they can do this, even though they're not telling the story very well. But that's what I wanted to say about Kubo and the two strings.
And now we can start talking about Sing.
Yes.
So Sing, when it came out in the theaters, I remember people going, you should go see this. It's fun. It's fun. You know, that's kind of the thing that I heard. Oh, it's fun. But you like to sing, so you'll love it, you know? And I guess what we're going to talk about kind of how we feel and if we recommend it, right?
Yeah.
I would say this is a mixed bag for me because it's not usually going to be this fraught with emotion, I'm sure. But there were so many things in this movie that I thought, like, is this really a movie for kids? Like, there's so many negative and violent and
crime-related
stuff, like, that all of the characters almost were doing or involved with. So, but, you know, I like, that stuff tends to go over kids' heads. Our kids didn't really pick up a ton on it. So I liked parts of it, but it's not a movie that I'm going to want to watch over and over again. I'll say that.
Yeah. And if someone were to tell me to watch this movie, they would have to lower my expectations.
Yeah, right. Like, don't pay attention to this. Yeah, this, this.
Don't worry about what the plot is doing. I mean, like, the plot was pretty straightforward. I think it could be recommended with some caveats about, you know, like, it's not a great movie. It's not a great story. It feels kind of stapled together, kind of, I don't know, it's a kid's movie, but it, you know, whatever, that's what we're doing. I guess that's what I'm going to say is, like, probably not recommended. But it's not the worst. You could do much worse. Yeah,
for sure. It's not like, oh, don't go see this movie. It's like, I'm sure if you've gotten this far in life so far, you've either seen it or you haven't, and you're not going to, you know? So, but it is on Netflix right now. Right. So if you have Netflix, it's in, it
and
might
show up. And
if you're
listening to us in 2017, late 2017,
yeah,
you might see it there.
Yeah. So anyway, I guess now we're going to get into the spoilers.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Here it goes. So it starts with the theater in its prime, and this koala that's telling us the story is 6 years old. His name is Buster Moon. He went to the theater. He was so excited with his dad, and he's telling us this stuff in narrating form, and then he, of course, it pans down to him as an adult in the theater, and he says this, "And I should know because I'm Buster Moon," which
is one of our least favorite movie lines.
Yeah, it's
if I was in charge of approving scripts, I would put a filter on all scripts that came in looking for a line like that.
Yes.
I should know because that would be rejected.
Yeah, I mean, like, they made fun of it in The Office, right? Like, Michael Scott had, "And I should know because I, Michael Scott."
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's a trope. It's not great. So, but, you know, they kind of use it, I guess, in a funny way. And they needed to start from somewhere.
Right.
I don't know.
It didn't feel terrible. It didn't feel as bad as that witch movie.
Maleficent. Yeah. Okay. So, so number one, he avoids paying people who work for him and ditches calls from the bank. That's what we learn about him right away. Mm-hmm. So there are people outside that have worked for him. Their checks bounced and he's like, "Oh, I got to get out of here because I don't want to deal with these people who I owe money to."
Mm-hmm. He evades his collectors. Yeah. In a really cute way, though. So it's very forgivable.
So it's totally fine. And the kids probably don't even realize that he's, like, you know, being a jerk or whatever. So because, you know, he's living his dream. So you can do whatever you want when you're living your dream. So then we get lots of flashes for the people we're going to see in the movie. We flash to a group of, like, monkeys that like to rob people.
Mm-hmm.
And
thieves. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we flash to the prolific pig family with lots
25
of
kids.
Children. And, you know, the mom is, like, singing. And she tells,
all these characters are singing. And,
of course.
You know.
Yes. So she tells her husband, like, "Oh, tell him what a good singer I am." And he, like, doesn't even know what she says to him. Mm-hmm. They've got some broken signals in that family. Then the flash to the punk porcupines trying to get a gig somewhere. Mm-hmm. Flash to the shy elephant singing "Happy Birthday" with lots of ornamental notes in there. Just taking it
to
the next level. And everyone in her family saying, "You should get up there." And she's, "Oh, I'm too shy to sing in front of people." Okay. So then we flash to the easily upset, ungrateful, pushy rat.
Oh, yeah.
He's character.
He's a work.
Yeah. He's playing a saxophone and he basically, like, somebody gives him money and he's like, "That's not enough money." And he basically steals money from this guy. Yeah. And you're supposed to be like, "Oh, I don't know what you're supposed to be like." Maybe thinking it's funny.
Yeah, yeah. So in the opening montage, we have fraud. I guess I don't know what
thievery.
Right. Robbing a bank and then
broken homes,
personal robbing. Yeah. So
not really. I mean, the pigs aren't like
They're living like a David Foster Wallace-esque what is water kind of life where they just, you know, the day to day in and out routine.
Yes. And yeah, like people pushing their family to, I don't know, like it just seems like there's some unsavory things happening right at the beginning of the movie. And then, of course, Buster, you know, when all those people try to collect money from him, he goes straight out to, like, the fanciest restaurant in town and meets his friend there because he's wanting to hit him up for money because I guess his friend is rich. So he's in this fancy restaurant, and then he goes, oh, I'm going to do this singing competition. Will you give me the money? The friend's like, I don't think I can do that anymore. Sorry, my family won't let me. They get thrown out because they're eating sandwiches inside this nice establishment.
This is the least offensive crime in the whole movie, and it's the only one that anyone's punished for.
Yeah, they get thrown out. Yeah.
Well, I guess the apes go to prison, but... So, yeah, they get thrown out of a restaurant for eating sandwiches that he packed in and brought in.
They go back to the theater, or Buster does, and he's talking to his secretary. What's her name? Mrs. Crawley. She is like 200 years old, they say, in the script, and she has a fake eye, and she seems pretty useless. But I guess, you know, she's probably working for nothing because...
Yeah,
I guess he can't afford anyone else or whatever, but she's kind of a maddening character. Like, I kind of like her and kind of really get irritated by her at the same time, like every time I see her on the screen. Her fake eyeball shoots out of her head. She's making a flyer for the singing competition. He's like, oh, we're going to offer $1,000 to the winner. And so the fake eyeball lands on the zero two times and then rolls off into the corner. And so the $1,000 is changed to $100,000 on this flyer. And then she prints them all out. And before they can even look at them to distribute them, she walks in front of the fan. And the fan blows all of the flyers out of the theater.
The fan blows them throughout the whole city.
Yes, because that's the way that wind works. It does that.
Yeah. And, whatever. The flyers get distributed to the people who we were introduced to in the opening montage.
Right.
And a few others.
Yes.
And they show up for auditions, and there's an audition montage.
Yes, with all these people that are wanting to perform.
Mm-hmm.
The only one that we don't get to hear sing is Mina, the elephant, the shy elephant, because she's too shy.
The auditions were funny because... everybody gave a really great performance, right? Because they just wanted to shove some nostalgia down your throats, right? Like, it was like, oh, remember this song? Remember this song? Yeah. Remember this song? And, you know, so everybody was giving these stellar performances, except for a couple comedic ones where they're like, guys tuning his guitar the whole time or something.
Yeah.
But.
I Like Big Butts song. So thank you for introducing my children to that. Oh my, I guess they say, gosh, look at her butt, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so now our kids are singing that. Thanks. Appreciate you sing. It's fine. Whatever. After all of these people do their little, you know, performance montage, I guess it probably takes all day. I don't know. It's a lot of people that want to be in this show because it's a lot of money. And they choose like a frog trio and just Ash from the Porcupine Punk duo. So just the girl. They have the rat, Mike, who is an amazing singer. They have a snail. They've got the opera goat.
Yeah. Well, whatever. They picked the people that we met in the opening montage.
Plus a few more.
Yeah.
And that's when they find
Except
out.
Except for Mina.
Yeah.
Because she didn't sing.
Mina didn't sing at all. So that's when Buster finds out, and his friend Eddie shows up there too. They find out that there's a typo and it says the 100,000. And so it's like, oh, what are we going to do? And then he disappears and he tells his friend Eddie, oh, look at this bucket. My dad worked every day to pay for this theater. And I sat there thinking, how much money was he making? Like washing? What was he doing with that bucket? He was like mopping floors or washing cars. Okay. Sure. So that must have been, I mean, how much money does a theater cost? A lot, right?
Yeah. A few million dollars.
So I guess his dad worked every day since the day that he was 6 years old and decided he wanted to own that theater. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Whatever. Anyway, there's a couple discrepancy things in this movie, and that's one of them for me. But anyway, then Buster works on lying because he has skills in that department. And he goes and tells everyone, oh, yeah, we're all good here with the $100,000.
Go home and get some sleep.
Yeah.
And so, dreams are what success is made of or whatever.
Yeah. And so far, it's like there's no like good feeling thing in this movie, I feel like.
Yeah.
I mean, like people are auditioning and some people make it. And I guess you could maybe do that. But the next little montage that happens is like Ash's boyfriend singing songs about being unsupportive. And the rat is like womanizing. And Johnny's crew or his dad's gang or whatever is planning to like a big robbery. And the pig gets ignored by her spouse and builds a machine to run her life. Like it's just like all this like sad stuff happening all of the time. And so, yeah. And then, of course, like Buster being the amazing theater producer that he is, he's like, okay, I've given you songs to choose from and all the songs for Johnny. He's like, oh, you have to play the piano. He's like, I don't know how to play the piano. He's like, oh, well, you'll just learn, you know, can't you just imagine how great it will look if you just play the piano? Super weird, right? Like, I don't have this skill. Oh, well, you're going to learn it.
And I don't know if it says in the movie how long this, it feels like a week. It feels like they auditioned for a week, but obviously some of these things, I mean, you know, it must take longer than a week to learn the piano, but also they construct a stage out of glass and water and fill it with neon squids. I didn't know that squids glowed until I saw this movie, you know.
I
think they, you know, that would have been great in Planet Earth. I don't know how they missed them.
Yeah.
Glowing squids
underneath the ocean.
Maybe it was a month, but there wasn't like a sense of time. It felt really fast.
Yeah, it did. And these people were needing to show up every day.
Every day, yeah.
And
so,
especially the mom, Rosita.
Rosita, yeah.
Yeah, that's her name, right? Yeah. The pig. She's got 25 kids, and she built this machine to get them up in the morning, make them breakfast, clean it up.
Do the dishes. Get their backpacks on or whatever.
And then,
get them
like,
out the door.
When they get home, and also like remind her husband like where his keys are and stuff like that. Then when they come back home, she like has
Tucks
the machine, does all that stuff, and like reads him a story and stuff. And I'm like, okay, that's awesome and amazing, but also negligence. And
so she gets home that first night and she's like, oh, hey, honey, how was your day? And he's like, oh, same as usual. And she kind of has a very ambiguous face because you're not sure if she's disappointed that he didn't notice that she wasn't there or if she's like happy that she was able to automate her life and she wasn't needed anymore.
Yeah.
It was a strange thing. And it was fun and cute, right? Like kids liked
and
it. Oh, look
funny.
At this, mom. Look at this, dad. Like, you know.
It's like, oh, wow, look how clever. You know, it's like, yeah, if you could build a machine like that, you wouldn't need that $100,000 prize. You could just take that to the bank and be set for life, I think, if it works as well as it does, you know. Obviously, it's a kid's movie, so we're stretching.
Right, and she did right.
What's possible.
Right,
of course.
You thought you might see her, like, miss her kids. It was like, oh, look, the dishes are getting washed. My kids are asleep in their beds. Good. I did it, you know, and she did actually make it. So, you know, she can take credit for it. But it's like, don't you want to have, you know, interaction with your children?
Yeah. And I know that, like, really, it's temporary.
Right.
Like, this whole thing is supposed to be temporary. The thought that struck me, and I guess I'm a mom, if one little thing went wrong while you were gone, a kid could die or, like, be... I don't know. And I know it's a cartoon, so they wouldn't let that happen. But anyway, the whole idea of her doing that was crazy to me. So it was a little much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And obviously we're overthinking it, right?
Of course we are.
if that was the worst thing in the movie, we wouldn't have even noticed it.
Sure. So,
and it's not like the movie had a bunch of terrible stuff in it. It was just like...
No, it's just a bunch of little things where you're like, wait, these people are criminals. Wait, this guy's like breaking the law. Wait, like she's abandoning
a fraudster.
Her children. Wait,
and like
that girl's supposed to be a teenager and she's like living with her boyfriend and he's cheating on her with another girl. Like it's just...
Right.
Yeah, because they do make it a point that the porcupine girl is a teenager.
Yeah.
They say it over and over again.
I guess we're rooting for Mr. Moon.
That's who we're supposed to root for. That's...
We're also probably rooting for the characters, sure. Except maybe not for Mike, the mouse.
Yeah, because he's pretty terrible throughout. Like, right. He has no redeeming qualities ever. Right. Like, he's just really
except
mean
for his voice.
To everybody. Yeah, he's a very good musician, mm-hmm. but he's a jerk, like, major to everybody. I think he calls Rosita Porky. Hey, could you look outside this door and tell me if there's any bears here, you know? Mm-hmm. And then she's like, no, you know, just be nice. And then he's like, oh, I love your act, especially when you fall flat on your face. See you later, Porky. Like, he's just so mean.
Oh, yeah.
Not only is he a criminal and he's, like, gambling and he's cheating.
He's cheating, yeah.
And he's, you know, like, he's spending money he doesn't have. He's like... But he's also just mean to, like, everyone except for the one mouse lady that he has the hots for. That's pretty much the only person he's nice to. That's just what this movie is full of, right? I mean, like, it doesn't feel like a huge downer of a movie.
Right. It's very light and it's very, like, you know, hey, son, we're going to rob the bank. But when you stop and think and you put it into terms, you're like, wait, that's weird, right? Like, that's weird that there's robbers and fraudsters and gangsters and...
Yeah, and these are the people we're supposed to be rooting for, you know? Like, it's just interesting. They're just living their lives like they're not changing those aspects of their lives. That's not, like, their arc. That's not their character arc.
Right.
They just are who they are, and their character arcs are, like...
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Like, I get to sing.
Yeah, they're very short. Like, Mina's is like, okay, I'm gonna overcome my fear.
Yeah, she overcomes her shyness and her fear. That's great.
The gorillas... Apes,
I guess
gorillas.
They look like gorillas to me. I keep calling them monkeys because I don't know for sure, but they look like gorillas.
The gorilla boy, like, kind of overcame his fear of his dad, I guess, and told him what he was up to. And then I guess his dad also decided he loved his son because he could sing well.
We'll get into that a little more later.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, but yeah, we're talking about character arcs. And yeah, like, Mr. Moon's arc is confusing too, because it's like he had blind optimism at the expense of his own honor.
Yeah, and the law.
So he had this blind optimism and enthusiasm for the theater, love of the theater, which they do kind of capture a little bit of that every once in a while.
Do appreciate that. Like, actually, the very beginning opening, when he's 6-year-old in that theater, I was like, I love this. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to love this movie because I was like, if this whole movie's like this, then I'm set, man. Jennifer Hudson singing a beautiful song while they're, like, all these stagehands and, like, all the packed theater, and they really capture, like, the magic of it and the reverence of that theater, but they don't really ever have that, like, not that specific.
Right. There's a scene when he comes in, you know, he steals electricity from the neighbors, and then he comes in with Mina, like, hey, you know, come on in with me. He shows her, like, oh, turn on the house lights now, and she does, and the house lights come on.
Yeah.
And it's like this deep breath moment, and like, it shows the theater as, like, this blank canvas where magic can happen, and it's
great. Its own little world, and it's like, you know, you get to be behind the scenes. Isn't this cool, the way that this works, you know?
And I thought, right, like, we have these thoughts when we watch these movies about where we think the plot's going to go, and I thought it'd be cool if Mina fell in love with backstage work, right? She has a great voice. Doesn't mean she has to sing in front of an audience. If she loves pulling the curtains and doing the behind the scenes stuff, that is a legitimate ambition and love to have, you know? So, and she did like being backstage, and that was nice. But then she also went and sang, and she did a great job, whatever. It was good to have some of that joy in the journey kind of thing with her enjoying being backstage and involved in this theater, because I know there's magic there too.
Yeah, I think that you're right. Those were the two moments, I think, the very beginning and that moment right there where he was telling her how things worked, that I thought where they really captured that feeling of magic in the theater. He goes to Nana...
tries to get money.
Noodleman or whatever her last name is. Mm-hmm.
Which is great, because at first he's like, your Nana's still alive? And they're referring to her as his Nana because it's
like
his
grandma.
But then it turns out that her name is also Nana. And I'm like, who did that? Like, Give her another name. Don't call her Nana. Nana. Anyway.
Yeah. That what? Buster Moon tries to hit her up for money. Mm-hmm. And she comes and she sees the whole like squid thing.
Squid stage.
And it's this amazing. Is the thing that I thought was super dumb. The part of the movie that I was like, oh, come on. So all the people are like geared up to give a show just for Nana, just to see if she'll be able to invest some money in their venture. And the stage is awesome. The squid power is fantastic. It looks really cool. People are about to perform. They don't get to because Mike the Mouse
has been cheating at poker against these Russian
bears that are humongous. And they found him there. And, you know, they found his car. They found him. They bring him in and he's like, oh, you know who has my money? I'll give you your money because he owes him money. Buster Moon has your money.
Who is this moon?
That's pretty good. Good job, honey. They storm in and they're like, are you Moon? He's like, yeah, I am. And he's like, all right, let's bust open this treasure chest. And it, really what's in there is like $1,000 maybe, but it doesn't even look like that much. Mike is like, give him the money, you know? And he's not like saying,
because they're
hey.
Threatening his life, right? Like they're squeezing his neck and like he does put him in his mouth and it's pretty violent, right? For one character to eat another character on screen.
It happens a couple times too, during the movie. But anyway, it's like suddenly the bears they bust open this treasure chest and then it's revealed that there's not $100,000 in the treasure chest. And for some reason everybody is super disappointed and thinking like he lied to us.
Yeah.
He lied. And it's like this terrible, you know, moment where and it's like I'm sitting here thinking, what moron would keep $100,000 in cash in a treasure chest like just where anybody could get it? You know, like why do you guys think that there's that money in there in the first place? Mm-hmm. I mean,
he did say that it was in there.
Yeah. But like just the fact that it wasn't in there, I can't believe that their immediate assumption is he lied to us. He was never going to give us any money.
Right.
You know, or not enough money or whatever.
And he even says under pressure, he's like, guys, I can explain. It's a prop. Right. Yeah. And it's like
nobody
that would make a lot of sense if that were a prop. And of course, maybe the fact that there was some money in there made it look like it wasn't a prop. But
It
felt pretty forced.
Yeah, it did. And it was like his moment of being exposed to these people, you know. And then, of course, like the squid stage gets cracked and the whole theater gets flooded and then subsequently destroyed. Like everything is just falling to pieces, falling apart. Like so that now it's curtains for the theater. Terrible.
Terrible pun.
Yeah. I'm kind of the queen of accidental puns, so you'll probably hear quite a few more from me. Mr. Moon is devastated, and he gets called out as like this terrible theater manager and terrible charlatan or whatever. So he goes and lives in his friend's pool house for, I don't know, like a day or something. And then the people that were going to be singing in his show, all except for Mike, I guess, all the nice people show up there. They all...
to like cheer him up.
And he's like, hey, the show's canceled or whatever, and they're like, why can't we just still put the show on? So they do a total 180 from like
you lied to us.
I can't believe like the only reason why we're here is for this money, to like, oh, we don't care about the money, we could just put this on somewhere else. Maybe I mean the world's not over yet, come on Mr. Moon. Like they're all just like happy, it's fine. And then he has this moment with Mina, who baked him a cake because she's so nice. And he's like, oh, I told you that, you know, what you would need, you just need to overcome your fear or whatever. But really, probably we're both just never going to get what we want. And you're never going to have the courage to perform. And you're the worst. And, you know, like whatever, makes her run away in tears. And then he tries doing a car wash again with his friend, which is a pretty funny montage. But it's fine. It's like, you know, okay, he's hit rock bottom. That's fine to see that for a second there. And then he hears Mina singing her Hallelujah, which is like the best song ever, actually. I love that song. But she's doing all kinds of vocal ornamentation on it. And so he's standing there in his Speedo looking at her, and she's like, oh, kind of surprised to see a wet koala.
Oh, we should mention two movies in a row. Matthew McConaughey
voicing the main character.
And what do you know?
He's amazing.
No, well, he's good.
Shirtless. He's amazing because he's shirtless. I'm just kidding. Matthew McConaughey is a very good voice actor.
Yeah.
I think he's fantastic.
Yeah, very good. And so. I thought of it because I think this line stood out to me where he's like, "Do you think you could do that on stage?" And she's like, "I don't know, maybe." And he's like, "I'd love to see it, you know." And like, it was very good, you know, like that.
Yeah.
Simple lines, well delivered.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, yeah, he takes it all back, and he's like, "Nope, you gotta sing on stage." They start to rebuild that theater into an outdoor theater, mm-hmm. and I don't
Amazing.
Know how long it takes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of work, mm-hmm. and I think only a handful of people are working on it because mm-hmm. it's just the performers and Eddie and Mr. Moon, right?
Mm-hmm.
The koala. So it's really quick, but they get all the rubble out of the way. They build a new stage.
Yeah, it feels like one day.
They get an enormous amount of work done, and they're back in business. And I guess the news is covering it and saying, like, you know,
oh, this is going to be so funny.
This is going to happen.
What does he say? I've covered a lot of disasters in this town, but this one is going to be.
Yeah.
And then he gets cut off because they start performing.
Yes.
And it was amazing. No, yes. it was great, you know.
First is the pigs, it's fun. And so far there's only like family in the audience and nobody else, and he's like, "Oh, there's not a lot of people out there, but the pigs do an amazing job and everybody
Bring
thinks they're amazing."
In the crowds.
Yes. So all of a sudden, the entire city wants to see this. When the pigs are done, Rosita's husband is like
awakened.
Yes, suddenly mm-hmm. has the hots for her again.
Mm-hmm. Which is great.
So that's her character arc.
And she has a great dancing in the grocery store scene that we don't need to describe, but it was great. It was one of the best parts.
I think that was our kid's favorite part of the movie.
Yeah, it was
actually.
One of my favorite parts.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. Then Johnny performs, and with one night of practicing the piano, like, he goes from not being able to play very well to playing phenomenally. Which, in my
experience as a piano teacher, doesn't happen very often.
No, it really does not.
Interesting.
And I think that his piano teacher just sat in the corner and said, "Nope, that's wrong," or "Ooh, that's sounding great," mm-hmm. which I think I normally have to do slightly more work than that mm-hmm. while I'm teaching piano. So
I guess you haven't learned how she does it.
I know.
You haven't learned
the Mrs. Crawley technique. That is what I'm missing in my mm-hmm. life.
It's just one of the many ways in which they require us to stretch our belief and imagination or whatever. And,
yes.
You know, it adds up. It takes a toll on the old mind.
If you're an adult thinking about
and like,
story.
Yeah. And I was watching this and like the porcupine picks up a guitar and like starts making a chord, kind of. And I'm like, I don't think that she has the dexterity required. I'm like, oh, forget it. Just, you gotta give up. So, you know, you can't.
Yeah, sort of like when I'm like, why did they make the elephant the one that has like this big old belty song?
Man.
Because you can't even see her mouth because her trunk is in the way.
You
the way that
see
she's
it.
Animated
and
is
there's
so
no
awkward.
Way the sound is reaching the microphone through that trunk. You know, it's like,
that,
it has
that
to go
trunk's
around.
Blocking everything, mm-hmm. you know? So it's a little silly, like she's got the microphone pressed up against her trunk,
mm-hmm.
and we can hear everything.
Let me show you what
clear.
That would sound like.
This is me talking into my trunk.
So just to let you know how a microphone picks up a sound like that.
So the thing that I thought was funny.
I should know. I don't actually have a trunk. That was my hands.
Oh.
I held up. Well, you know that. You saw me, but I'm talking to the listener now. I held up my hands in front of the microphone.
He's not an actual elephant.
I am not an elephant, nor an elephant man.
Yeah, none of those things. So one of the things also that kind of bugged me was that when Johnny was singing, I mean, this is all being broadcast on TV, and of course they get TV in prison, and his dad is like, you know, listening and going, "What is that? Turn it off," right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's like so irritated.
But apparently, maybe he sat through the first performance or two?
I think it was just one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's annoyed. He's like, oh, turn this stuff off. And then when he sees it's his son, he's like, oh.
He suddenly gets super proud of him. Which is, again, a total 180 for when his son was like in the prison with him going, hey, by the way, the reason why I didn't like come and get you for the
reason
the
why
big
you're
job
in prison and got caught. Yeah.
Is because I'm in a singing competition. Mm-hmm. And his dad was like, you're no son of mine. Like, my son would be a professional criminal. You're terrible. I hate that you sing, you know? And so he did a whole 180 right when he sees his son singing on the screen, which is interesting. It's fine. Mm-hmm. It makes you have fuzzy feelings, I guess, when you see stuff like that happening. But in reality, if that was like a real situation, I think he'd actually get more irritated if he saw his son. But anyway, then of course Ash comes and she's the Porcupine punk rocker and she wrote her own song. And in the middle of her performance, the bank comes to shut it down. They're like, hey, this is our land. You know, we're shutting this all down. And then she starts like punk rock anyway. She's like, I'm going to sing anyway.
I have combat boots on and I am going to sing.
And she's wearing Becky's glasses, which I think is fantastic.
I did love that. Yeah.
I do love that.
The ex-boyfriend's new girlfriend's sunglasses that she left in her apartment. But yeah, the banker was annoying, but at the same time, she was right. Like, they were trespassing on private property.
Yeah, because the bank owned it now.
And so, I don't know. I guess, like,
because,
I think
you know, Buster Moon didn't pay any bills ever.
A big problem we have with a lot of kids' movies, family movies, is they seem to have these thing in common where a lot of them have this doctrine about if you dream or wish for something hard enough, good things will happen.
Or you will get exactly what you dream.
And that's probably more accurate, right? You will get exactly what you dream. Because I kind of do agree with, you know, like if you, you know, work hard for a dream, you know.
Yeah,
you
good things will happen.
Right, good things will happen.
Yeah, that is a good
You'll
thing
learn
to...
things, whatever. You'll get experiences, you know, motion is good. But yeah, you'll get exactly what you're hoping for, right?
So if you really want to win a race and you've never raced in your life, and there are other people who have raced for years and years and years and they're very, very good at it, if you just wish hard enough, you could beat all of them and be first place.
Right, because a miracle will happen.
Yeah.
Along
every
your way.
Time.
Yeah.
In a kid's movie. So
yeah, so that's
all these kids are being told that and it bothers us.
Right. And you know, this movie is one of those movies, and I think that's probably what makes us see all the crime. And
so you're telling us that it's okay, like Buster Moon, like he really wants this theater, right? So the things that he does to keep this theater or to get this theater, so he avoids paying people who he owes money to, not just like the bank, the big bad corporation. So then there's also individuals that he's failing to pay for work that they've already done for him. His dad worked slaved every day.
Right.
To get him his dream. He steals power and water from other places. He continues to dodge calls from the bank knowing that he, like, that's responsibility. And he's not taking responsibility, which is really irritating to us. I mean, even Mina, she says, like, Mr. Moon, are you sure this is legal when they go to, you know, and he's like, ah, don't worry about that right now. So he's doing all these like super underhanded, shady things just to get his dream, to get what he wants. And we're telling this to our kids like, this is okay. You should do stuff like this. That let's put this guy up on a pedestal, you know?
Right. It bothers us. We don't feel like, oh, we should forgive it, this or that, because it's a kid's movie. You know, like these little funny things about like the trunk getting in the way of her voice and, you know, the
singing.
That'd
be fine if the story was better.
When we get bothered by these bigger themes, the tentacles start reaching out and they grab hold of all the little things too, and they bother us more.
Yeah. Ash does her song.
She did like a Back to the Future thing where she slides on her knees during a guitar solo riffy thing and it's silent, and then she has her eyes closed and then she like peeks out of her eye like Michael J. Fox did, I think.
Maybe that was a like legit throwback.
I think it was a callback. Yeah, yeah. I think it was.
Then of course Mike, the terrible rat, sings My Way, and he does like the best performance in the entire, I mean, like maybe like other than the Jennifer Hudson stuff at the beginning and the end, like her "Then I Will Sing a Lullaby," that one, that whatever. My voice is really terrible right now. Anyway, his My Way was like better than Frank Sinatra's. He probably wouldn't be able to do it that way unless Frank Sinatra did it first. But I'm just saying, it was very amazing.
He was voiced by Seth MacFarlane,
uh-huh.
who I don't, I've never seen Family Guy or whatever, but he originated that. I think. So I don't think of him as a singer, especially not that kind of singer.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to compare these people like Frank Sinatra and Seth MacFarlane, but I do know that Seth MacFarlane has technology available to him that might help him more than Frank Sinatra ever did, right? Microphone fidelity, post-processing techniques.
Sure.
Seth MacFarlane may be a better singer. I don't know.
And I don't know if I would really claim that either, but right, I mean, he really gave an amazing performance.
It was fantastic, And, you know, I believe in technology to enhance human activities. So
the very last person to perform is Mina. She gets up on stage and starts singing, and she's, of course, amazing, and everybody thinks she's great. So, I mean, everybody kind of gets, like, tied up in a bow at the end, except for Mike the Rat.
Which...
We don't even know what happens to him.
We don't know what happens to him, and it bothers me.
The last we see of him is that he's in the car with his girl, and there's a bear hanging on the back of the car. That's the last shot we have of those two.
Does he get what he maybe deserves from the bear? I mean, death for cheating seems like harsh.
Yeah.
Being a jerk a whole movie, still harsh, you know. But yeah, we don't know. We don't know if he gets away with a shiny red car and a girl, or if he is being digested.
Boom, boom, boom.
So that's the kind of thing that you can look forward to if you watch this movie.
Yeah, and Buster, by the way, is like, oh, because this is a huge audience loving everything. He's like, you know, Dad, I wish you could see this. And then he sees Nana in the audience, and she, you know, is kind of clapping directly at him, like, good job, buddy. And then she buys the theater, and instead of calling it the Nana Theater or the Noodleman Theater, it's called the New Moon Theater. So he still gets his theater.
I think she's a Twilight fan.
But possibly it could be named after the second book in Twilight. That's I think it's funny that you got that and I did not.
I'm always looking for Twilight jokes.
Twilight references are your purview.
That's my job.
The movie will probably, if you're not looking for all this stuff,
you know, if you're just trying, you know, oh, this is a good song, I love this song, I love this song, I love this song, you'll have a great time.
Yeah, and you'll be like everyone else when we were like, oh, how's that movie? They were like, it was fun.
Yeah, and sure, it's fun, but crime doesn't pay. crime is not fun. Fraud is not fun.
And
you
just
know.
Because you want something hard enough doesn't mean it's going to all work out
exactly the way that you hope.
Yeah.
Work hard, dream, repeat, and you'll have a great life.
Yep.
Not all your life will be great. What do I know? I've only lived a portion of a life, but that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't we all? So anyway, Sing is, it's a movie.
It's a movie that may or may not be recommended by this particular podcast. Okay. I hope you enjoyed Sing or this podcast. I don't know if you could enjoy both. Goodbye.
Goodbye.